Go. That's somebody who knows how to praise the Lord. Yes, 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 yes. I'm going to pray first, then I'm going to say some things that's going to challenge you today. Father, I thank you for the privilege and honor to assemble with the body of Christ, my family, the believing ones, the ones that have been called out to be set apart for your use and for your glory. Today, I ask that you grant them the spirit of wisdom. Let their spiritual eyes be open. Give them revelation today, God, to accept and embrace the reality of your divine truth. Let their ears hear with clarity your words. Let the Holy Spirit make them alive. Let it become a rhema, living and vibrant and active in their activities. We thank you now, and I yield myself to the preeminence of the Holy Spirit. Have your way. Do whatever you see fit in this body of believers to edify, to encourage, and to direct their steps. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and honor for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, I'm amazed by God's people sometimes. And the amazement part is that I can go to a basketball game, I can go to a football game with them, and they lose their mind for a man. Yeah, Stephon Curry's a good brother, but he ain't Jesus. And people lose their mind over his jump shot. But he didn't hang up there for my salvation. And I want you to take 1 minute. Everybody in here, just take 1 minute. That's 60 seconds. Just stand up for 60 seconds. And only, hold on a second. If you don't know him, stay seated. But if you know who Jesus Christ is, for 60 seconds, stand up and give him radical praise. Praise God. There we go. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Awesome King. Yes, there we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there it is. That's the breakthrough right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There you go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now that's it, right there. There you go. Praise God. Praise God. Yes. That's it right there, saints. You may be seated. In the book of Psalms, chapter 8, verse 2, it says, O Lord, our God, thy majesty and glory of your name fills all the earth and overflows in the heavens. You have taught the little children to praise you perfectly, made their example shame and silence the enemy. You know who the enemy is? Satan is our enemy. And what it's saying there is that when you begin to praise God and give him true adoration, you cut off every accusation that he speaks against you. Praise should be common for us, just like breathing for a believing one. You should be able to tell God how much you appreciate him, how much you really love him. Let me give you another, sweetheart, I love you, baby. Oh, you look good today. Well, every day you look good. That's love. You ought to be expressing that same love to the one who created you and redeemed you. God is good, saints. I want to take every series that our pastor has been preaching and lead up to the one we're doing now. I'm going to see how well you guys remember his series. Amen? Series number one, be transformed. If I get it wrong, let me know. I wasn't even here. How do I know that? Because I'm good. Number two, gifts of God. Number three, worship. He trying to get you to understand what worship is truly about. Number four, connection. You got to connect with somebody because you're not an island unto yourself. No man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. The next one, the message of the cross. That speaks all by itself. Just look at it. It speaks by itself. He hung there long enough just for us. Then the next one, the power of agreement. How can two walk together unless they agree? The next one, the model church. Now, I know I grew up in church, and I've seen a lot of things in church, but I've never seen the model church. The next message he talked about, the series was House of Prayer. And then last year, he ended the year with Go. Remember he said Go? And we're going to keep on going. But you can't go without this series right here, which is wisdom. Mordecai told Esther, "You are brought to the kingdom for such a time as this." I believe ALWC was brought here for such a time as this. Because you don't know, but those people out there are hurting bad, and they need our help. They need for us to walk in the wisdom of God and let them know how much God truly loves them, unconditional love. If you need a title for my message, it simply is this: to be or not to be? That is the question. Famous quote from William Shakespeare, Hamlet. It goes like this: "Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to sorrow the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take the arms against the sea of troubles, and by imposing in them to die to sleep." This man has some problems. He didn't understand how love should have worked. So he thought, maybe, you know what? I can end this thing here by suicide. And suicide is the second leading cause of death from ages 15 to 34. From 1999 to 2010, the suicide rate amongst Americans, I'm not going to go into other countries, Americans from ages 35 to 64 increased nearly 30%. People living without hope. The largest increase were among men in their 50s, a rate rising nearly 50%. Now, I ain't going nowhere. I'm in my 50s. If I leave here early, investigate. Something happened to me. I didn't take myself out of here. So do you see why people need us? And really, this is what it is all about, saints. When someone takes their life, they're going through pain and don't know how to handle life's troubles. They want to eradicate the pain, but they figure, I'm going to leave here. But they leave in a situation, and pain is easy to be dealt with as long as you got the manuscript on how to deal with it. And saints, we got the answer. We got the answer to eradicate people's hurt, pain, and discomfort. So the answer to life's challenging problem is found in God's word. It's found in God's word, but I found out something about God's word, that some of God's people, according to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Lack of knowledge, it means that you don't know how to implement God's word into your everyday situation. And you're going to have challenges, because guess what, saints? We're not in heaven. See, heaven's okay right now. Heaven's perfect. We're still in the earth realm. So you're going to be faced with challenges and problems as long as you're down here. But right here has all the answers to it. But you got to apply wisdom to this right here in order to help with those problems. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 real quick. And I want to explain to you as you go in there about Christians who was going through unnecessarily sorrow, grieving. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul was dealing with the church of Thessalonica. And they were bemoaning or grieving about their loved ones. And the apostle Paul said one thing that's very so admirable to me. He said, "Be not ignorant, brethren, concerning them that will sleep." Because sometimes you can go into a place from grieving to be lost in that place without getting out of that situation, because it's not God's will for you to be bound by anything, and that is grief as well, too. Jesus said himself, "I bore your grief. I've carried your sorrow." He didn't say, "Don't mourn." It's a natural reaction to what we have loss. But that church went beyond that because they didn't know exactly what was going to happen to their loved ones. They needed the wisdom of God to understand, and Paul brought about that wisdom. Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to have you turn to a lot of scriptures today. I want you to see what the word is saying to you personally. Amen? So Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to talk about wisdom. What is wisdom? And how do we get wisdom? And how do we apply wisdom? When you get there, say amen. Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 5 through 7. When you get there, say amen. It says, get wisdom. Well, that means that's a command. He said, get something. So get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Then he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Now, you may ask the question, what is wisdom? It sounds like it's a female here, right? Well, he's correlating the relationship between a husband and wife or someone you're in love with. You should embrace that person. So you should embrace wisdom. But by definition, write this down for wisdom. Wisdom is the God-given ability to perceive the true nature of a matter and to implement the will of God in that matter. You got it? Let me say it again. Wisdom is the God-given ability to perceive the true nature of a matter and to implement the will of God in that matter. You got it? Okay. Now, I was talking to one of my good friends about prayer. He's like a brother to me. And I asked a simple question to him about his prayer life. Not to condemn him, not to be critical, but to see exactly where his prayer life was at. Amen? I'm going to give you the same test, though. If you can, put up that slide about the vision if you can for me, okay? So my question to you guys is, who do you pray for first on a daily basis? Just give me some answers. You don't pray? You don't pray? Huh? Family? Who else? Others? Who else? Yourself? Anybody else? Co-workers? The church? On a daily basis, who you pray for first? Family. Okay. Oh, help him, Jesus. Help him, Jesus. I wish that slide come up there for the vision, but I'm going to show you something real quickly. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, we don't get our prayer life right. Because if our prayer life is not right, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, will never meet the mandate of the vision. Okay? Now, I heard a lot of things out there. I said, y'all pray for your wives, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, Uncle Tom, you know, your co-workers. Okay. We're going to see what the word says about who to pray for first. And I'm going to tell you why we're going to do this, too. Everybody there? Say amen if you're there. Okay. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all. Let's say first or second. First of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? For all men. Now he identifies which men or women. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Watch this. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Let me tell you something. I love traveling a lot. My favorite place in the whole world is called UAB, United Arab Emirates, Dubai. But I got in trouble over there one year because I didn't read properly. Now, I'm thinking that, you know, we got the BART station here, right? I'm thinking their train's like BART station. But keep in mind, they have Sharia law, so they got separation. Well, everybody lined up over here was packed. I'm like, hey, that car over there is empty. So I walk back here to this cart. I didn't read the sign, though, very carefully. I walked in, and this whole train was full of women, and they all started screaming. Well, the sign on the outside said, women only. Wisdom, saints, wisdom. Well, wisdom says this too in Timothy. You pray for leadership. You should pray for President Barack Obama. I didn't say vote for him. I said pray for him. You should pray for Vice President Biden, the GOP staff, senators and congressmen. You know why? They erect the laws that we serve, we have in this land. If they happen to change the laws, like over in UAB, you won't have the freedom and liberty you have now to preach the gospel. So our vision that we have for our church, it can be confined. Because you won't have the liberty to go out door to door, go into the communities, and preach God's word. That's why we need men of God as mayor. Because why? We want this word to be out without any recourse. Freedom and liberty to express God's will to lost humanity. So we need to change and alter our prayer life. Now you're going to say, well, why don't we just go ahead and do what we want to do? Suffer for Jesus. Go to jail for Jesus. That's not wise. In the news recently, there was a young man who was in North Korea trying to preach the gospel. Guess what? He's going to spend about 15 years in North Korea in jail not preaching the gospel. Because why? In North Korea, you cannot propagate the gospel. It takes wisdom on how to get God's word out to lost humanity. And that's why we're doing this series. Because the Bible said wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom. The wisdom of God. So how do we get wisdom, saints? How do we get wisdom? How do we receive anything from God? We simply ask him, right? We ask God for wisdom. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. You know, in praise and worship, I know the Bible says that come boldly to the throne of grace. But I think you should understand how God's kingdom is really established and how the tabernacle was set up. It was set up in three different areas. You had the outer court where praise and worship was always going on. Then you had the inner court, and then you had the most holy of holies. And that's why I think you got to get in a routine habit of always praising God before you just enter right into his presence. Because out here, if you stay out here long enough, everything will be taken care of before you get there. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Then it goes on, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be called a fool. Get what God has in store for you. When you ask him for wisdom, I hope you expect for him to give you wisdom. And then when you get the wisdom, learn how to operate in the wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, right next door to you, verse 6 says, for the Lord God, he giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh what? Knowledge and understanding. Well, when God is speaking, he's speaking through this. If you're not reading God's word, how do you know what God is saying? You can't have a private caucus with God and think you're going to get an answer. Last week, Pastor Moten said something very interesting, and I prayed about it. He said someone approached him about forgiveness. I laughed at it because I said that person, whoever asked that question, did they really want to get forgiveness? Or were they making an excuse of why they don't want to forgive? And what he did, whoever took that scripture, he took two scriptures in juxtaposition position out of context. Okay? Let me tell you how you can get forgiveness. When Jesus on the cross, what did he utter to the people, to the Father? Huh? I heard it over here. Lord, forgive them. Say, hold one more time. Say it a little louder, Dorothy. They know not what they do. Okay, so if he said to forgive them right away, how could they go back to Jesus and ask to repent? He left. He died. So that can't be right. Okay, they're going to say, that was Jesus. Okay, I got somebody else for you. How about Stephen when he was getting stoned? The first thing he said was, lay not this to their charge, Lord. He forgave them before they came back to ask for forgiveness. Am I wrong? Amen. Can I get a hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus. And what forgiveness does, though, it eats away at your soul. You might not think it does, but it does. It's like an unknown disease on the inside of you. And I'm going to take a detour real quick. I want you guys to go get a checkup, a physical checkup, to find out where you are physically as well, too. Because I know, I think I'm in pretty good shape. But when I got that checkup, it said something a little different. And sometimes we need to get a spiritual checkup to find out where we stand. And if you're in bad shape, an x-ray just won't do it. You got to get an MRI. Because they got to get deep down on the inside. I mean, they got to go way down deep. I got a little dog. Oh, my dog is so precious. Oh, my dog is so cute. It'll make you smile with just looking at her. But my dog got a little problem. Well, she had a problem. My dog would run up to you real quickly, and you would want to grab her and pick her up. If she gets a little too close, you're going to put her back because it's this word called halitosis. And my dog had a halitosis breath. So I'll put her down because she's cute on the outside, but something on the inside wasn't right. Something was going on the inside. So we had to take it to the vet, and they told us what was going on the inside. Once we got her cleaned up on the inside, come on, Amber, we can talk now. Well, that's an example for the church. It's something going on the inside. You can look real nice on the outside, but there's something going on the inside. A tic-tac just won't do. Clean up the inside. And I'm going to tell you something about unforgiveness. Because you know me? I will harbor, I could be mad at you, you wouldn't even know it. You know, I'm a quiet person. But I can be mad on the inside. And I told you about what happened to me. God put me to the test. I said, Lord, I forgive this person for what they did. He said, okay, we're going to see. So I walked in the room. That person walks in the room. I broke out into a cold sweat. You know why? On the inside, I didn't let it go. I failed the test. I said, Lord, one more time. I get it right, Lord. Just give me one more time. I'm going to get it right. They walked in the room. I ran to the room, and I gave him a hug. I passed the test. You got to understand something. In this life, all God is watching you on how your behavior is. You can look all nice on the outside, but on the inside, there's an MRI going on, and God is doing the MRI. He sees exactly what's going on the inside. So in Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1, King Solomon was going to be king. And first thing he said was, I am too young to be king. And the first thing he did was, he gave God 1,000 burnt offerings. I told you, outside there in praise and worship, you get your answer. And when he asked God for the answer to his prayer, God said, I'm going to give you wisdom, pretty much, knowledge and understanding, which is wisdom. But after he gave it to him, a test came to see, did he really receive the wisdom? So two women came before the king. And they both had kids. So one night, one of the mothers rolled over and killed their kid by accident. While the other mother was asleep, she took her dead child and placed it from the living child. Trickery. So when she woke up, she found out, oh, my child is dead. So now they got to bring the problem to the king. Now keep in mind, God already gave him King Solomon wisdom. But now it's put to the test. So King Solomon said, you know what? I hear your story, and I hear your story. Let's cut the child in half and see what happens. Well, the mother over here said, you know what? Give her the child. Because she knew that, hey, this child won't live because it's really mine. And God gave Solomon wisdom to understand, you know what? That's the real mother. Give that child to that mother. So when you ask for God wisdom, you ought to expect God to give you wisdom. Do you expect that? Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It tells us that we need God's wisdom. When you get there, say amen. I'm getting there. Hold on. Hold on. Wait for me. Wait for me. Wait for me. James in the back somewhere, right? New Testament. All right, James chapter 1. We're talking about wisdom. Now, I want to give you an example of wisdom. I gave you one with Solomon. Now I'm going to give you a real life example. My wife been battling something for almost 8 years now. Okay? Now, she sat at home for this 8 years without going to the doctor. I told her I'd do a funeral for her because she'd be gone. She had to go to the doctor to find out what was it. What was the issue? Now, I go to the doctor. We go to the doctor to get facts. Right? He'll say A, B, and C. I diagnose you with A, B, and C. Right? Okay. So one particular visit, she went to the doctor. They said her fingers were bothering her real bad to the point where she couldn't really move her fingers at all. She came to me and said, my fingers are hurting, babe. Now, I'm kind of a tough guy. I said, well, pray about it. Okay, she goes to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, this is your choice. I can cut your finger off. Took that finger back. We go back home now. Because she got the facts from the doctor about what he can do. Amen? But I met another doctor. His name was Jesus. So the facts that doctor gave me, I went to this doctor, and the truth that Jesus gave me override the facts. And that's why you go to the doctor, because they don't give you facts all day long. And you want the facts. But you better have some truth lined up with those facts. Sweetheart, put your hand up, please. All one, two, three, all five of them right there. Why? Because God's word works. Every time. God's word, it works. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. It says, if any man or woman lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally or freely, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But watch this. But let him ask in faith. But let him or her ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. So we said that we go to God for wisdom. But when you go to God for wisdom, you got to go in faith. Amen? Okay. Now, what is faith? What is faith? I know you guys are writing everything down, but right now, put your pens down real quickly. When I was a kid growing up, I watched a show called Romper Room. Remember Romper Room? And Miss Marianne had us do certain things, right? She appointed something. We had to point to it as well, too. So I'm going to show you what faith is. Faith has four components, okay? Faith has four components. The first component of faith, point to your ears. It's your ears. Come on now. I'm Miss Marianne today. Point to your ears. The second compartment of faith is your heart. Point to your heart. The third component of faith is your mouth. And the fourth component of faith is your hands. Got it? I'm pushed to the test now. First compartment of faith is what? Ears. Second is what? Third, and the fourth, one more time. First, one more time. Last time. That's how faith works. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says what? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. Right? You got to hear what God said on the issue. Yeah, I heard what the doctor said, but But I also heard that by his stripes, she's healed. Hear what God said. Second thing is your heart. Now, this is a tough one because if your heart's not right and God's word not in there, you're going to have faith all day long. It ain't going to work. It got to be a combination. It got to be you hearing God's word and having a heart that's right. The third thing is what? Your mouth. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. You say, I'm an introvert. You better say something. You better change who you are. You better change what you say. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. And plus, you say something because you get your angels working for you. You got to get them angels working for you. You got to say something. And make sure what you're saying is coming from God's word. And the fourth thing is what? Your hands. Faith without works is dead. You can't want a job and stay at home praying all day. It don't work that way. I'm sorry. Get your resume together. Do something. And that's the combination of how your faith works. Once you put that together, God will give you that wisdom. He said, let him ask in what? In faith. Nothing wavering. Then you receive from God. You can't vacillate. One minute, I'm believing God. And next minute, I'm doubting God. Believing God, doubting God. You'll never receive what God has for you when you vacillate in and out. You won't. The message about wisdom is going on because it is critical in witnessing to the lost. We always want to say something without listening to their pain and their hurt. The Bible says very clearly, be swift to hear, slow to speak. They want to tell you what pain they're going through. And when they do, you ought to just say, you know what? I have a solution for you. The Bible says very clearly, we ought to always have an answer for the hope that lies within us. We should have a solution to their problems. They've been to the psych ward, don't work. We, the body of Christ, should have the answer for those who are hurting. The simple message is this: Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life. And if that plan is implemented, that pain you have right now will be alleviated. It does not last always. Matter of fact, the word says that things you see are temporal. That pain you're going through is a temporary pain you're going through. It won't last always. But you got to get into the word, saints, and use God's wisdom to implement that word into those around us on a daily basis. Now, there are two types of wisdom. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Beginning in verse number 13. When you get there, say amen. He asked the question, who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. And lie not against the truth. This wisdom, it does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom from above is first what? Is pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to entreat, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So we have two kinds of wisdoms in juxtaposition. You have earthly wisdom and you have godly wisdom. And I want to say most folks operate from earthly wisdom. Because godly wisdom, you might say, man, I'm not being used like that. See, you over here operating from sensual side. God wisdom says, I'm going to love that person in spite of what they've done to me. And that was hard for me. I read a pastor says, love your enemies. I said, he wasn't talking to me, was he, Lord? But he was. He was. You got to understand something. People are not your enemies. I'm going to say it again real slow. I know I talk fast, but I'm going to say it real slow. People are not your enemies. Satan operates through people to get to you. To get to you. And the bad part is, we allow it to happen. We should not be ignorant of his devices, the Bible says. So when we retaliate to another human, we're over here operating through earthly wisdom. You'll never get victory over here in earthly wisdom. You'll be a believer going to heaven, but having frustration in the earth. If you're over here, though, operating in God's wisdom, you'll have peace. Not a false peace, but a real peace. See, when I said, Lord, I forgive that person, I had a false peace. I had a smile on my face, but I was mad in my heart. The MRI showed, Elwood, get it right. You got to keep in mind, when this thing is all said and done, Pastor Moten, Pastor Tammy, Pastor Elwood, all y'all going to stand before God by yourself. I can't bring my wife and stand next to me. I'm by myself. And now I got to give an account for my conduct and behavior in the earth. In the earth. How did I treat people? Were I always mean and angry? Did I retaliate? Eye for eye and tooth for tooth? See, people want to go to the Old Testament and bring it back in. Well, I'm going to throw eye for eye. No. Love. It could be surmised or summed up in one word. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. See, when you're not loving your neighbor, I'm kind of questioning your love for yourself. See, God has an infinite plan for humanity, saying it is not God's will for those people to perish. That's not his will. His perfect will is for all to be saved. Not one person lost. So the one who's getting on your last good nerve, God died for that one too. Even if it seemed like it, but okay, rewind the tape a little bit. Go back before you were saved. Okay, yeah, now you see the picture, huh? You know what's going to happen in heaven? It's going to be a screen like that. Edward, you were goofed up. You were unsaved, evil, and spiteful. If the books were open, that's what it would have shown that. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. It blots it all out now. He said, I'll blot out your sins. But what we do now as believers, though, we operate and it brings it back up again. See, we got to get it right, saints. You can't get it right. You can't not get it right and go save those out there who hurt you. Because they feel you. This past Friday, a friend of mine, she wanted me to go out with her and show her how to witness. Great idea, but she didn't have all the facts. I said, okay, let's go to these homeless encampments, and I'm going to give you the truth. What's going to happen? And it shocked her. She wanted to duplicate what we're doing here. I said, okay, let's go. And I said, now, don't be afraid of what you're going to see. They're going to have guns. They're going to have dogs. Just don't panic, because God did not give us a spirit of fear. So we go out there, and the first one we go to, I can see her jump back. You know. But again, keep in mind, you got to take yourself out of yourself to do what God did. You know, you guys got to think about this. Jesus Christ came from a place that was perfect to come down here to an imperfect place to deal with imperfect people. So why can't we go to people who are hurting and wounded and afflicted and homeless? By the grace of God, we got houses to go to. All it takes is one bad economic decision, and I got me a tent outside. Me, Madeline, and Leah, and Amber. So since God has blessed us, let us take the blessing to those who are less fortunate than us. But it takes wisdom on how to administer God's word. You know, I used to be a rough Christian. I would go out there and witness. Boy, I'm surprised people ever wanted to come to Christ with me. Because I thought it was your fault why you like that. Then God began to show me through his word how to operate through wisdom on how to share his good news. And it only comes by going inside and find out that person's heart. Not judging the heart, but find out why is that pain there? Why is that person acting like that? There's pain there, saints. No one wakes up in the morning wants to be evil. Except for Satan. He's the only one. He wakes up every day mad. You know why? I'd be mad too if I was him. He'll never be able to go back to the presence of God. He messed up forever. We got a song of redemption he can't sing. He should have stayed there singing when he had a chance, but he left that place, and now he can't sing that song no more. But we can. We got the song of redemption, saints. Let's take that song into Vallejo. Now, I'm more of an international person, so I'm going to stay with Vallejo first. Then I want to take the entire Solano community. Amen? Then let's take California and then move on. Oh, we can do it. Did you see the vision that the pastor has for us? That vision is not limited to one city. We're going to take the city. Now, when I say take it, we're giving it back to Jesus. That's what we're doing. We're giving it back to who it belongs to. Then we're going to move on. And I want you to pray for this city. Not them old Mickey Mouse prayers, but I showed you in Timothy how to pray. Pray that God will give the next mayor or the next leader here wisdom, spiritual eyes of awakening to see how can I rectify those problems. And it's only going to come through the wisdom of God. Solomon found that out. He asked God, give me wisdom on this. These people are hard to understand. But God gave him wisdom on how to handle every situation that he would ever confront. And that's what God wants to give to each and every one of you. God's wisdom. What is God's wisdom again, saints? See if you remember what it is. I don't hear nobody talking to me. What is wisdom? It is a God-given ability to do what? To perceive the true nature of the matter and to implement the will of God into the matter. That's wisdom. Once you see the true nature of the matter, then go to God's word to put his word into action. So again, wisdom is the God-given ability to perceive the true nature of the matter and to implement the will of God into that matter. You having problems with your wife? Okay, Lord, your word says to do what to my wife? To love her. What are you doing now? You're getting God's wisdom, and now I'm going to implement love into that situation. That's wisdom. When we first got married, I was a fool. Not to get married. I was wise to get married. I was a fool in love. I'm going to tell you why. My wife could tell me something, I would do it. Whatever she say do, I do. So one night, when we first moved to our new house, she said, baby, I want a hamburger. Now, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. 1:30, 2 o'clock. Now, I grew up in Oakland. 1:30, 2 o'clock, you better be in the house somewhere. My wife wanted a hamburger. I said, okay, I'm going to get her a hamburger. So we're getting ready. Holy Spirit said, don't go. I'm looking around like somebody was talking to me. It didn't come from out there. It came from in here. He said, don't go. But again, like Adam, he going to please Eve, right? Okay, watch what happened to Adam and Eve. So we get ready to go. She's driving, and we get there. I get out the car because I'm the man, right? I get out the car. I'm smiling. It's about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what she was doing, but I get to the window to order. These two kids come around the corner with guns, put them in my face, got me out the way, and robbed the place. I slowly backed up, got in that car, and went home. The wisdom of God say, don't go. See, God speaks to us all the time. It's a matter, are we listening? Now, if I'd have got shot that night and went to be with Jesus, they'd have said, what happened to Edward? You guys would have never known that God told me not to go. God is always speaking to us. It doesn't matter, are we listening and obeying what he says to us? Remember, you got to be willing and obedient to enjoy the good of the land. Willing and obedient. You can be obedient sometimes to tell God to do, but in your heart, you don't really want to do it. So how you know that? That was me. That was me. I hated preachers. I didn't want to be a preacher. Lord, they don't make no money. Number one, I said, you're going to do it. God said, okay, don't do it. But keep in mind, the work that he begun, he's going to complete it. If you got kids that went away, don't worry. They're coming back. Because God will complete the work that he begun. God's a God of perfection. We get all panicky. Oh, my kid now doing this. Okay. Lord, you know where they're at. His eyes roam the earth to and from. You can't do nothing that God doesn't see. I don't care where you're at. Remember, God, he encompasses the entire earth. So God is watching us, saints. But more than, he's watching our attitudes in service. Not service here, but in service there. How are we handling our loved ones? Uh-oh. That's how they hit home. How are we handling our loved ones? My wife is so beautiful because she knows when I get mad, I'm mad. I ain't talking to nobody. Amber, Leah, nobody. I ain't talking to nobody. Phone cut off. I ain't talking to nobody. She comes to me and says, baby. See, all she got to give me the word. What does God say? I'd be like, shoot, man. Been reading that Bible too much. But the word should speak to us. If it doesn't, I think we're off kilter. We're not in perfect harmony with God. God wants a just, weight, and balanced life. You're praying all the time. You're praying all the time. You're praying all the time, but you're not doing what God tells you to do. That's an unbalanced Christian. God wants us balanced, saints. So wisdom, I want you guys on a daily basis, ask God for wisdom. But then walk in expectation that God's going to give you wisdom in every situation you come into. Do you believe that? Close your eyes for me real quick. God is doing a unique thing in this ministry. And people ask me all the time, say, Edward, you didn't come right aboard to the ministry. No, I didn't. Pastor Tammy and Pastor Darius probably, I don't know, like brothers and sisters to me. I'm not being preachery right now. I'm just saying they're like family to me. Pastor Darius' mom was like my mom. But when God told me they started their ministry, he didn't say go right away. You know why? Whatever I do, I'm committed 100%. I'm not going to vast, especially kingdom stuff. I'm 100% in. When they told me the vision they had, I'm on board 100%. You know why? Because their vision is in line with kingdom principles. To have a church don't make much sense if you're not doing what God told you to do. What? To fill this place up and not go out into all the world. What good is that going to do? Well, you might be here today and you snuck in because you thought that, okay, you know what? I want to hear a little word. But God brought you here. Like God brought me here. He brought you here because he loves you. He has a plan for your life, and that plan is a perfect plan. You may think your plan is good, but I want to tell you that God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you so much, he said, I love you, and I'm going to die for you to bring you back to the Father. If you're here today and have never accepted his redemptive plan, meaning that you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is your lucky day. If you're the only one here, God said, I love you, and I got a plan for you. If you're here today,